We're reading from Psalm 46. It's page 565, Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah.
Well, thank you very much, Sylvia, for reading. And please do keep that passage open. If we've not met, my name is Philip, and I'm more usually part of the 4 p.m. congregation, but it's lovely to be with you here at 6 p.m. as well. Well, as we start, let me pray for us. Let's pray. He utters his voice. The earth melts. Our Heavenly Father, your words are powerful. They speak to us. They address us. And so we pray very much that you would address us personally today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me start with a question. And I'm going to give you a moment to think about it. And it is this. What do you fear? Have a think about that. Well, I don't know what thoughts entered your head as you thought about that question, what you fear. But the word phobia gets bandied around, I think, quite a lot. Here are just a few. There is acluophobia, that's fear of darkness. Maybe that's some of you on these cold winter nights. Then there's acrophobia, that's fear of heights, another popular one. But here are some seasonal ones. There's clausophobia, that's fear of Santa Claus. Anyone got that? And then there's meleagrisphobia. That's fear of turkeys. Has anyone got that problem? Well, experts say that we all fear things on different levels. But here's a thought experiment for us. At what point do we have a phobia? At what point do we really fear? Let me ask you, what do you do with a spider? Do you cover it with a glass? Do you ask someone else to deal with it? Do you tape up the overflow pipe on the bath? Or do you leave the house completely? Which end of the spectrum are you at? Well, that's sort of kind of banal kinds of things. But what about the things that really objectively are scary in life? The kinds of things that we really, objectively, ought to fear on New Year's Eve. As we look to the future, as we look ahead to life in London in 2018. Well, here's all the life stuff, isn't there? There's passing my exams, getting into university, starting a new job, changing jobs, losing a job, trying to get promoted, being stuck in a boring job, not being liked at work, having a bad boss, not getting on with the boss, messing up, making a mistake at work, money, finances. How will I pay for this? Finding a house, finding the right person, how we look, will the kids be safe, how will they turn out? Riding a bike in town, I think that is pretty scary. Car accidents, being mugged, evil, health issues, serious sickness, middle age, old age. That's the life stuff. And then there's the global stuff as well on top of that. Brexit and the threat of a terrorist attack on our streets in London. Or North Korea, Iran, and so on. A nuclear bomb, global warming, the economy. I could go on, couldn't I? Lots of things that might cause us to fear that, objectively speaking, we might think are scary. Well, if that's the case, then I hope that this psalm will help us. Alec Mattia says this psalm is about Christmas, and I think it helps us post-Christmas and into a new year as well. Now, this song, as you'll see from the top there, is written by the Sons of Korah. Now, that sounds a bit to me like a rock band, but they are God's singer-songwriters, and they wrote this song to help us, to help God's people in an objectively scary situation. It gets called trouble there in verse 1. You'll see there. We could call it distress, alternatively. We're not told exactly what it is, but there are some clues as to what's going on, the historical setting. Take a look at verse 6 over the page. You'll see there it mentions the nations. It says the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Now, you only need to look back in history or go to the British Museum to see what these nations did, Assyria and Babylon, what they did to God's people, Israel. They went into exile ultimately. And later, as we read later on in the Psalms, in Psalm 137, we are told God's people are there by the waters of Babylon, and they are mourning, they are weeping, as they remember how things were in their city, in Jerusalem. It is a very scary situation. Everything has been crushed and smashed up. The city has been smashed up. Just think of ISIS to get the kind of idea. As they smash up the city and they take people captive. That is the kind of picture. Maybe we're here and we're visiting and perhaps we wouldn't call ourselves a Christian. Or maybe we would. And either way, some of this maybe resonates. And we wonder, what is the answer? What is the Bible's answer? What is this psalm's answer to that? Well, let me make things worse before we make them better. Because you see, the New Testament tells us that believers, that Christians, are in exile too. We live in a shaky, a broken world. And we live in a scary world as we sit here on New Year's Eve. We face opposition. And we are not at home here and now. And in the midst of all of that, here, look at verse 2. This is what the sons of Korah are able to sing. We will not fear. How can we sing that song? How can you, how can I sing that song on New Year's Eve? Well, the answer in this passage is this. God is unshakable. That's the big thing. Now, I think the passage splits into three, and that word Selah is a musical kind of pause. And it comes after each little section. And in each section, we see a shaky world. And then we see God, who is unshakable. Take a look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. therefore we will not fear. Look down to verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Do you see the picture? God is unshakable. And yet we need to see that and feel that. And that's why he gives us some graphic pictures so that we feel it in our hearts. And so that we learn in our hearts to trust God and not to fear. There are three things I think that we need to take to heart. And they're there on your outline. And the first is this. A shaky world. That's verses 1 to 3. First of all, this is a shaky world. God is unshakable, but we only see that when we see this world against that. And there is picture language here to describe what our world is like. Take a look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. We're by the sea, only it is not a beach resort. We're not there with a book in one hand and a cold ice drink in the other. Maybe some of you Aussies are wishing right now that's exactly where you were. It's not that kind of situation. You're not making sandcastles. It is a scary scene. The earth is shaking, and the mountains are shaking, and they fall into the sea. Now, I don't know what your experience of mountains is normally, but they're pretty solid, aren't they? Sometimes we get landslides and avalanches. But on the whole, they don't normally fall into the sea. They're pretty impregnable. You have to blast through them in dynamite to make a tunnel. But here, imagine Ben Nevis or Everest. And it collapses. And it falls into the sea. But not just a bit of it. The whole thing. All of it. All of it. Rock by rock. It collapses. And everything goes bang. Imagine that. And the sea, as a result, is chaotic and violent and up and down with the waves. Maybe like on something on Blue Planet. But it's not on TV, and you're in the middle of it. That is the scene. Have you ever crossed the channel on a choppy day and felt seasick? Have you ever done that? I did it a few years ago. I crossed the Celtic Sea in a sailing boat, and we had to be clipped on so we didn't fall overboard. Huge waves, a small boat. The power of the sea. You see, we are not in control. We are out of control. That is the situation. And it is unpredictable. We struggle to even predict the weather. We don't even get the forecast right. Hurricane Harvey, Irma, Maria. That's the picture. Storm Dylan hitting Scotland today. That's the picture. Terrifying if you're in the middle of it. And noisy and deafeningly loud as it crashes. Can you imagine the noise shaking and roaring as the water makes that noise? And when that is the scene, well, it doesn't matter how many New Year's trips you make to the gym to tone up, to get in shape when the mountains are caving in. Or how many swimming lessons, even if you're Michael Phelps, when the sea is like that. It is scary, all right. But it is even more scary when we know where the Bible starts. Because Genesis 1 starts with earth and with water, and they are separate. And here there is a reversal. It is a picture of decreation as it's all mixed together, earth and water. We live in this world that is literally falling apart. We might not see it like this quite every day, but we feel it in our little corner of the world. Lots that is scary, that is shaky in London. The things that we talked about earlier. The signs that the world is falling apart. We can't control the world, let alone our lives, or the streets, or wherever. Government pretends that it can. The EU or NATO or the UN or whoever it is. I don't know if you heard that interview that Barack Obama did with Prince Harry. Here's what Barack Obama said. All the problems that we face are solvable. What do you think of that? Well, maybe as we see this, we feel vulnerable. And things feel out of control in our worlds, in our lives. And we wonder, what will the new year bring for me, for us? Maybe we feel especially vulnerable if we're believers, Christians. Because we know some of this stuff is true. And maybe we think, well, people don't like what Jesus has to say about this. They'll think maybe that I'm bigoted, narrow-minded. And we feel it, and it feels out of control and scary. Perhaps it feels scary as we look ahead to a new year. And yet, in the midst of that, the psalmist is able to say, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A refuge. Imagine refugees finally from Syria, finally safe. Well, God is our refuge when life is shaky, when our world is shaky, when our corner of the world is shaky. And he is ever present. It's not like phoning customer services after Christmas and you're on hold forever. It's not like that. He is ever present. He is available. He doesn't go on holiday. He doesn't have an off day. He doesn't walk away and go AWOL and put his out-of-office reply on. He's ever present. He lives in us, if we're believers, by his Spirit. And Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He is big enough. He is strong enough. He is not a small God. He is an omni-God. Omnipotent. Omnipresent. Creation, you see, is no match for its creator. Sometimes our experience of life is the troubles. The troubles we face, especially, I think, as Christians. It means that we feel fragile, perhaps, clinging on sometimes by our fingertips. Or it might feel like that in the year ahead. Our feelings aren't an accurate gauge of where things are at. But at times we wonder, is God really there? Well, then when we need to go back to these words. Take refuge in the refuge. Maybe we even need to do that for the first time. But maybe we feel, I just can't say verse 2. Therefore we will not fear. I just can't say that yet. Life feels shaky and there are many unknowns in the year ahead. Well, secondly then, an unshakable city. That's verses 4 to 7. The picture changes and the camera angle changes. And now we see a city. And verse 4, it is called the city of God. The place where God dwells. And he is within it. That's why Alec Mattia says this is Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. But it is not this world. It is a new world. It is a new Zion, a new Jerusalem. Imagine God takes you on the tour and you walk around and you see the sights. Well, what do you see? Take a look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The waters, they're not smashing down now. In fact, the waters aren't shaking at all. Instead, it is calm and there is joy. And there is a stream. Imagine a country stream. Instead now, fearing for your life, you've rolled up your jeans and you're paddling in the waters. That is why at the end of the Bible, we're told that this future world, the new creation, there is no sea. Picture language to show us that it will be secure. Very different, and everything is quiet. The nations still shake. That is scary still. The world is opposed to God and to his people. There is uncertainty. It is scary. And yet this future city will not be shaken. Verse 5. It's the same word we get for the shaky mountains in verse 3. It will not be moved. It will not be shaken. no longer a picture of decreation, of the world being smashed up. Instead, a new world. This world with all the best things and none of the mess. And better still. And it won't be a partial patch-up. It's not like an upgrade or getting a new phone. This world, only ever delight and secure above all else. Our world doesn't feel secure, though, does it? And there is much that we fear, or are tempted to fear, as we approach a new year. But maybe part of the reason why we fear is because we're looking to something very insecure for our security. This future city, it is secure, but this world is not. But this future world is secure forever. And it is God that makes the difference. Take a look at verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Over and above this city is God. And he is the fortress. And he is the one that makes this city unshakable. Because he is unshakable. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, wrote a famous hymn called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And it was based on this psalm. And he experienced a shaky world 500 years ago. A shaky world, even the church in opposition at the time, opposed to the gospel. And he drew strength from this psalm. This unshakable city, this unshakable God. It was played at President Eisenhower's funeral, and it's been a favorite for years. Well, pause for a minute. Just think on this. This city, this God. Imagine this future. But maybe we've still got questions. I mean, that's normal, isn't it? Or maybe we're nodding on the inside in agreement. And yet we don't feel this yet. We reflect on this picture. Well, that is the way to do it. To reflect on it and to pray. To pray that you would take this to heart. That God would help you take it to heart. I can't promise that the trouble will go away. Not this year, not next year. I can't promise that the things that you might be tempted to fear will stop being fearful. But one day it will be, one future day, when this city is a reality, when Jesus returns. But in the meantime, it is good to know, wonderful, precious to know, that God is with us. The one who is bigger than all the trouble. And one day he will bring this city about. And yet maybe you think, I just still can't feel as if I can say verse 2. Fear is hard to shake off. Well, thirdly, a God who stills what shakes. Verse 10 is one of those calendar verses, I think. But on its own, it doesn't make much sense. But it does when we look at it in context. It sounds like it's a command to us to be still. But I don't know about you, when the world is raging with all this uncertainty, with a shaky world, the last thing I'm going to be able to do is sit still when someone just tells me to be still. I don't think that's what this is saying. Instead, I think this is God speaking and addressing his creation. Speaking to the nations, to the shaky world, to all the stuff that maybe we are scared of in a new year ahead. And saying, stop, be still. We get another picture of this, I think, in the Gospels. So turn with me to page 1012. Page 1012. Those of you who've been looking at Mark's Gospels this year, hopefully this will be familiar. But take a look at page 1012 and look down at verse 39. And Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them,
"Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear.
Jesus, the Lord of creation, speaks to his creation and says, "Stop, be still." That's how the sea can stop smashing about. That's how God's city can be unshakable. He stops everything dead in its tracks. He stops what shakes from shaking. And that makes, I think, sense of all the rest of the verses in that little last bit in verses 8 and 9. God stops war, and he stops it through judgment. Now, maybe that's somewhat of a surprise that he does that. If you're still in Mark, turn back to Psalm 46. Maybe it is a surprise there that in verse 8 we get this picture of, and verse 9, of God breaking spears and judging. But that's not how the original people who received the Psalms in their finished form would have thought as they faced the nations attacking them. They would have been relieved, a bit like people under the threat of ISIS are relieved. You can't have any of this stuff without God judging. All the stuff that ruins our world has to be dealt with, and he will do it. And that means that we have nothing to fear with this God. And I think that then gives us perspective. Perspective for a new year ahead. That's the perspective that I think I need personally. You see, God is much bigger than we think. He is the omni-God. A small God is not much help when the world is raging, when the world is scary, when we face unknowns in a year ahead, when the world shakes. When that is the case, a small God doesn't make you feel safe at all. We can't do much. But these pictures here show us the omni-God, who is unshakable. He's not just a scaled-up version of us. He is totally other, and he is worthy of our worship and our trust. So as we close, let me ask the question. How big is your God? Is he this big? This unshakably big as you head into a new year? I don't know if you spent any time with children over the Christmas period. I know some of you probably did. Or maybe you think back to your childhood. Now, children, they don't need to be taught to fear things, I think. Even if they've got a house with nightlights and CCTV cameras and alarms and all that. Even if you've shielded them from the horror movies and just let them watch Peppa Pig the whole time. Even if that is the case, they're still scared. They know that the world is scary somehow, and they reach for the teddy bear. Well, similarly, we don't need to be taught to fear. We know it. And there is lots that we could fear and are tempted to fear, and that is fearful in a year ahead. Whether it's what is going to happen as we go back to work or college or what other people will think or some change ahead, whatever that may be. Or Brexit, all the stuff that we talked about at the start, the global stuff. We don't need to teach ourselves to fear those things. But what we do need to teach ourselves on New Year's Eve is how to fight fear. And this passage, this psalm, I think this song helps us. It is a pretty good place to start as we encounter, as we meet the unshakable God, who promises an unshakable city. Let's pray. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this picture of you in your glory and power and majesty, you the omni, the unshakable God. Please would you help us to trust you with all that might be scary to us, that we might fear in a year ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.